real-time check-in with today's business world and more. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN. Here's Steve Bertrand.
And here we are in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Welcome to Friday afternoon here in the city of Chicago. Tom Gimbel will be along a little bit later. He's the CEO of LaSalle Network, and we'll talk about how employers keep employees. Last week we talked about the willingness for employees to move on. Today we'll do that from reverse and how the bosses can try to keep the good ones. Then we'll look at a study about millennials and brand loyalty. And millennials, of course, very important group, how to appeal to them and then how to keep them buying your Hershey bar or Nike sneakers or whatever it is. But we start on Fridays with on Fridays usually on the Wintrust Business Lunch with a visit from Andrea Haynes, the editor at Blue Sky Innovation, and she's on the phone line with us now. Andrea, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Hey, Steve. Great to be here.
So I was talking with Bill and Anna a few minutes ago about, I love this story from Ryan Ori and I think it was Greg Trotter about the Fulton Market. You know, it used to be the Meatpackers District, and now it's very chic, it's very trendy, it's very tech, and the Meatpackers have sort of been dispersed. It's an interesting article to look about how they have relocated and how they're dealing with change in their business world.
Yeah, very true. They did kind of a long read on this situation that's been ongoing in Fulton Market for years as tech companies have basically moved in and meatpackers have moved out. And it turns out as they're looking at what happened to some of these folks, they're scattering a little bit. You know, some have sold out, kind of made a killing on the land. Others, you know, some of the smaller ones are being affected by consolidation anyway, and they are, to some degree, just scattering throughout Chicago.
And the story says in 1990, there were 146 businesses in Cook County considered to be meat or meat product wholesalers. Last year, there were 94, so that's down 36% in that time period, which, you know, shows that not only are they being displaced geographically in the Fulton Market, but they're being displaced sort of in the business world, right? There's consolidation and things like that to where the wholesalers just aren't the wholesalers that they used to be.
Exactly. So that's not all on the tech companies, right? That's kind of some consolidation that was happening in the business anyway. It's just that Fulton Market District just provides such an interesting place to look at that change. And now you've got those kinds of companies coexisting, which creates some interesting situations.
I love that they're coexisting there, but I like, too, that there's a new district sort of popping up. I know they write about the fact that there was an effort to do something in an organized way, but along I-55 now, there's a sort of a meatpacking corridor, it sounds like, there. All right, let's move on, because people are going from job to job these days. The job market is very hot. And I'm interested in this story about the future of the resume. And I think in this one piece, one expert said that within 10 years, the resume might be non-existent, absolutely useless.
Yeah, this is another great long read from the biz section this week about job hunting, which if you haven't job hunted in a while, it's going to be awfully different. Resume, not so much anymore. Now you've got people finding out about you. You're doing video interviews. You've already got a lot of your material online. So there's things like, you know, chatbots. There's all kinds of algorithms that are helping decide whether you get the interview.
So you used to try to dress well and impress the person giving you an interview. Now you may well be interviewed via a video hookup, and there's computer software that analyzes your tics, right? Analyzes the vocabulary you use, the way you move your eyebrow, and then that will determine whether you might be a good employee for this company.
Yeah, I thought that was extremely interesting. I mean, that is what you probably expected was happening with a human being that might be evaluating you to see, you know, how interested do you seem? How can you articulate yourself? You know, all those things. But now it's actually not necessarily a human evaluating your video interview. It's the machine. And what does that lead to? It's, you know, there's a lot of issues explored in the story about what that can mean for, you know, diversity, what it can mean for, you know, all aspects of hiring.
I was thinking, I've actually been thinking about this a lot because, you know, my first reaction was, this isn't right. You know, this is about, and probably I would imagine a lot of hiring still is about connections and, you know, who knows whom and things like that. But something, you know, a machine shouldn't decide this. You should be able to make a personal impression. And what jumped out at me was one of the things that these machines can overcome are sort of unwitting biases, like, you know, you might hire someone who went to your same school or things like that. At first I thought, well, those are connections. That's what this should be about. But that's because I'm in a position to have had those connections. And that keeps others who haven't had been in that position to make connections sort of out of the workforce. So this would, I would think, level the playing field for them a little bit.
Yeah, I think there are ways that can level the playing field. And it's also kind of at that screening aspect, you know, where they're just trying to go through zillions of people, trying to look for certain things. You could see ways that could be used positively as well. And you're right, the whole issue of connections and hiring for fit and all those things can be a positive, but it also can be discriminatory. So this maybe provides ways around that.
In a way, it's I'm sorry, go ahead, Anna. Andrea.
That's okay. I was going to say, one of the interesting challenges, though, for the applicants that one of the people in the story reflected was, if he doesn't get the interview or doesn't proceed, he has no idea why, right? You can't read the person at the other end of the encounter. Not that they're necessarily going to tell you what went wrong, but you can't even read them. Have no idea why you got screened out.
And you can't go to human resources and ask them why, because they don't know either. The algorithm just kicked you out.
Yep, exactly.
I don't know how I feel about it. It's a pretty interesting thing. You know, it's like when my kids were applying for college, it's much easier to apply now than it was when I went to college. So you apply to a lot more schools. I would imagine it's the same way in the workforce. It's much easier to apply online. So there are many more applicants for jobs than there would have been in the old days. And this is just one of the ways they try to weed them out. Read more about this at chicagotribune.com. Blue Sky. Andrea Haynes is the editor there. Thank you very much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve. Have a great weekend.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve Bertrand, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
All right, Tom Gimbel is here. He's the CEO of LaSalle Network, and he's just got the giggles today, so it's making it hard on me.
You're so funny.
Should we tell it?
Sure.
So we're just talking about, because you've got a son going to college.
Yep.
And it's in play whether you're looking for jobs, or my daughter just moved to L.A., and, you know, it's your first going off. It's going to be hard.
And if you've done your job right, you want them to go.
Right.
But it's very sad.
It's very sad.
Your analogy was,
I said it's like the Apollo rockets re-entering. It's really hard, but you want it to happen.
I'm just picturing Tom Hanks and everyone's yelling at each other.
We've got a pack for college.
Yep.
So there's that. It's going to be great, and I'm gonna torture you all the way through the process and make you explain it.
Every Friday. It's like therapy. I get to save myself my $20 copay coming here.
No, you still owe me. Okay, so, you know, last week we talked about the quit rate and the fact that everyone, you're bouncing from job to job and all of that. But if you're an employer, you don't want so much bounce, and you want to keep these people.
That's the challenge. So if employees believe, whether they know it or not, but if they believe they can leave a job and it's easier to get another job, how do you keep them as an employer?
It's an interesting thing, because there must be the temptation, because you almost want to keep them not just from leaving, but almost keep them from looking, right? Because once you start looking across the bar, the cheating has begun.
Well, I think that's the age-old question of all time.
right.
I think that's the...
Next week.
That's the analogous situation, though, right? Is it okay for somebody to have a thought, an impure thought in their head versus acting on it? And I think employees all the time contemplate, should I or shouldn't I? In my business specifically, we're recruiters, so we're in the business of tempting people.
Right.
So I'd be ignorant and naive if I didn't think my people get tempted. And so I think as employers in general, as managers in general, you have to believe that there's always going to be flirtations from the outside. What do you do to make them not be interested?
And so we're going to talk a little bit later in the program with the managing director of content for Morning Consult.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got a study out on millennials and what millennials look for, and which is really interesting, because you can see more of the globalization or the global view that they have compared to us and those who are older. But if you are a boss, how do you keep your workers? It's not just money anymore.
No, it's definitely not money. And so, there's two things. Number one, who are you hiring and to do what kind of job? And are you dependent? As a company, you don't want to become dependent on one person, right? And you should also, if you actually care about your employees, you're training and developing them, so they're actually going to be in more demand. Right, you want people.
So if you're doing well, you're going to create a free agent.
You're going to create people that are demanded by others. So the question is, do they see that they're still learning from you and there's still upward mobility there? Those are important things.
And you know what? I think that's such a key, because I think when you're coming up in a business, you're looking up.
Yep.
You know, you're looking at the people above you. You're aspiring.
Yep.
And once you stop aspiring or looking up, once you sort of think you're there and there's no up for you, I think that's where disenchantment really comes
in. I gave a presentation to a group of sales leaders for a high-growth technology-based company last week, and I said, how many people care about their employees, their team members? They all raised their hand.
Sure.
I go, how many of them want them to make more money than you as their managers? And they all raised their hand. I go, well, are we still going to lie for the rest of the session? Right? And the question is, do you really? Do you really want that? Do you want that? What are you okay with hiring somebody who's going to make more money than you? I always give the old Mayor Daley example when it didn't work out. But remember when he hired the chief of police before McCarthy, the FBI guy?
Yeah.
He paid him more than what Daley made.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If you have somebody on your team who can really help you achieve your goals, and they have a unique skill set, isn't that worth paying them more than you? And it's not all about money. You're right, but you have to figure it all into the equation.
So it's. You got to make your workers want to be there.
Yes. You have to. So I call it, you have to have the career vision for your employees. So people always talk about vision. It's what's the vision of the company. But how about career pathing for your staff? If you can accomplish A, B, and C, you can go in any of these directions.
But sometimes then you might end up graduating an employee and say, I've got nowhere for you to go here.
That's great.
Then they should go.
So, I mean, look at this. If you have a great it happens in radio all the time.
I actually had a boss say, "Look, maybe it's time for you to leave."
Right?
Yeah.
Well, don't you? I mean, aren't there? I don't know about here with Bennett, but aren't there a lot of producers that aspire to being behind the microphone?
Yeah.
Right? You work your way up, and then you lose a good producer when they go on air sometimes.
Bennett
right?
will be hosting the show within a year.
Neither one of us will be here at that point.
Tom Gimbel is the CEO of LaSalle Network. Thanks for coming by. Have a great weekend.
You too. Enjoy it.
Check in with today's business world and more. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN. Here's Steve Bertrand.
And here we are in the Allstate Showcase Studio, the Skyline Studio. Welcome to the Friday afternoon edition of the Wintrust Business Lunch. All right, if you are a baby boomer, you might be tired of hearing about millennials. I get that, but get this. For decades, we kept hearing about baby boomers, and a lot of us were tired of that. I'm actually one of the youngest baby boomers, so it applies a little bit. But millennials are the target right now, and in fact, a morning consult did a study on millennials and brand management. And to talk about that with us, Jeff Cartwright is here, the managing director of content. Jeff, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Let's just set the table a little bit. Tell me about why it is we care so much about millennials. Who are they and why it's important to business?
Well, I mean, I think you touched about this a little bit in your intro. A lot of ink has been spilled, right, about millennials and who they are. I think why they're especially interesting right now is millennials are starting to get older. So technically, the way we define millennials today are people who are between 22 and 37 years old, right? And so we've seen them kind of come of age over the past 5-10-ish years. And they're driving a lot of changes for brands, from the way they purchase things to the way they, take in the latest developments from a brand.
And you guys did quite an extensive study here about what brands have their loyalty, but also about their political beliefs, their social beliefs, and how that might impact them when it comes to marketing to this group.
Absolutely. I think there's kind of a narrative out there right now that millennials really care what stances a brand takes when it comes to big social or political issues, right? Especially in the last 2 years, as really the political scene has heated up and gotten extremely divisive. We've seen a lot of, news stories out there about boycotting and boycotting and things like that. And in our survey, we found yes, there's, about a quarter of millennials who say that they will not buy goods or services from a company if they take a political position that's different than theirs. The majority of millennials actually aren't really paying attention to the political stances that companies take.
15% of millennials say they pay a great deal of attention to ethical or political matters relating to companies they buy from. That surprised me. That we thought these were these great social actors, and when it comes down to what they want reliability and quality and value just like everyone else.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. I think when brands are thinking about how do I reach my target millennial, you can't skip past those basic tenets of having a good product and good customer service. So in our survey, the number one thing that millennials care about is a good price based on the quality of the product. The second thing, the way you're most likely to lose a millennial is bad customer service. And these are just basic tenets that I think if a brand is so concerned about political or social things and not focusing on those basic things, they're going to just miss out on the biggest chunk of millennials.
And that is a difference, right? They do expect more from companies than my generation or the generation before.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. They definitely do, and they are definitely looking at brands in a slightly different way versus older generations when it comes to how they use it, the way they prefer experiences over actual products, things like that. Like, those are all very, very important for millennials.
Here's what jumped out at me. I'm talking to Jeff Cartwright from Content, Morning Consult, I should say. But Jeff, here's what jumped out at me was the sort of the globalization, it might be the wrong word, a global mentality that you see in the millennials and Gen Z that you didn't see in older adults. I will take you to your numbers about they care more about helping people of the world than older generations. That is true for 60% of Gen Z, 18 to 21, 52% of millennials. And when you compare it to all adults, the number is 45%. So they're more global there. And there was another number where they were much less likely to care if a product is made in America. 58% of boomers say they'd like a company much more if their goods were made in America, just 39% of millennials. They're taking more of a world view, aren't they?
Yeah, and I think that has to go with kind of the global trend. The world has become a lot more global. The world is much more interconnected. And for millennials who have grown up in this space, right, it's really important to them to be not only citizens of their country, but citizens of the world. For brands, though, like, this doesn't exactly mean they need that exact representation from their brands. But when it comes to American made, when it comes to those types of buzzwords, that they're not going to resonate as much with a millennial or, you know, these Gen Zs who are, you know, coming of age now as well.
You know, it's very popular to say older generation, well, they came of age in the Depression, and so that influenced them for the rest of their lives. You know, they were hoarding butter cookies. Well, yeah, because they came of age in the Depression. But this generation came of age during the Great Recession, and it does have an impact on them, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I think something that I really want to point out in terms of when coming of age, in this study, we also look at what are the top companies that millennials care about. And we asked about 2,000 different companies, and the top five are all tech companies. And that really speaks to, like, this is what they grew up with, right? It's YouTube, Google, Netflix, Amazon, and Sony. These are the top five companies for young Americans. So despite all this talk about a tech backlash right now, for millennials, these are essential parts of their life.
Yeah, it's their blood. It's their fabric. They're not going to get away from it. It's funny to me. I don't have it in front of me, but I think the top popular company that wasn't tech was Nestle.
Right. Well, and we see it still a lot of those legacy brands. I think it's a nostalgia aspect, right? Like, you grew up getting Nestle candy in your Halloween bag, things like that.
All right. So you've got a meeting in the C-suite next week with a company that's developing a brand or maintaining a brand. In 20 seconds, what do you tell them to do to attract and then to keep millennials?
So the first thing I would say is, let's talk about basics. How is your customer service strategy? How is your product, and how is the pricing of it? Let's test that to make sure it matches with what millennials want. Second, I would say if you need to take a political stance on something, there are only like two big issues that I would say you should put your foot out on. It's the only issues that really got overwhelming support across the board from millennials, and that was civil rights and gay rights. Most other issues like abortion and immigration are still extremely divisive, even among millennials, and I would say to stay out of that. And then third, I would also just say, make sure that your company, the brand, the other thing millennials really pay attention to is how companies treat their employees.
Right.
So 51% of millennials say that they would like a company more if they were known to pay their employees well. And 40% said that they would like a company more if it was known to be a good place to work. So really still maintain that brand in your company of it being a good ethical place is still important.
There may or may not be a blue wave coming, but there certainly is a millennial wave coming. Jeff Cartwright, the Managing Director of Content at the Morning Consult. Thanks very much for talking, Jeff. I appreciate it.
Hey Steve, thanks so much.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
This is the Wintrust Business Minute.
Start the timer, because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. Closing time! Okay, that's enough. Chicago-funded social media site Everyblock has officially shut down. If you've never heard of it, that's because it was a hyper-local social site, providing Chicagoans a platform to post and comment on specific news and stories around their neighborhood. The site got bought out by Nextdoor, a similar neighborhood-focused social media platform, but they've decided that Everyblock doesn't fall within their approach to business. Nextdoor has a site for currently over 100 175,000 neighborhoods from around the country. And another shakeup that's happening in Illinois is over at FTD, Florists Trans World Deliveries. The CEO has officially stepped down, the COO position has been eliminated, and a handful of other executive spots are out of the mix as well. It's all because the company is trying to cut $18 million in costs by next year to reach their goal of just $23 million. The Downers Grove company is looking to set themselves up for a possible merger or sale as time goes on. Let's hope they're still around by next February. I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
All right, it's Friday, so that's when we do the number of the week. The number this week is, well, let's pick one. We'll say 2,085. So many people are moving out of the San Francisco area that it's hard to rent a U-Haul. So the cost to rent a 26-foot U-Haul truck, that's probably a 3 or 4 bedroom home, out of San Francisco and then take it to Las Vegas, the cost to do that reached $2,085 recently. Now, no one's moving from Vegas to San Francisco, so the cost to take that same van from Vegas up to San Francisco, $132. And that's the number.
To Steve Bertrand and the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
All right, the weekend is here. Front Row Phyllis is in the house to help us find some stuff to do. Phyllis, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Hey, Steve.
Well, you know, let's start with this sad news from the Country Thunder Music Festival up in southern Wisconsin. I know it draws a lot of people from here, and we've been doing the story all day about a young woman struck by lightning. A lot of kids or young people go up there and they camp out, right?
They do. They go up there, and it started yesterday, and then it goes all weekend until Sunday.
It's just a logistics mess for people up there. The traffic is horrendous and all of that, but once you arrive, it's a great time.
It's so much fun. Well, last night the stage was set for Sam Hunt took the stage. And some of the biggest headliners are going to be there. Luke Bryan's going to be there, Dierks Bentley, as well as Brett Young, Brothers Osborne, and so many more. And it's just a lot of fun.
It is funny. I mean, it's this field in the middle of southern Wisconsin, but they get the biggest names in country music.
The biggest names, and it's been going on for years.
So is it sold out?
No, there are still tickets available, but it's pretty close to sold out.
And so if you want to go tonight, you pretty much should leave right now, right?
Yeah, I would leave soon.
really, my daughter went one time, and the traffic was so bad, she had to use a restroom in a gas station, right?
Right.
The traffic is sitting there. She got out of the car in traffic, did what she needed to do, came back out, and was able to walk to the car.
Wow. So well, let's not scare everybody, right?
No. That's what I mean. It's a great time once you get there.
I know. Once you get there, it's so much fun.
Okay, you know what a big cheerleader I am for Ravinia.
I know.
Absolutely love it.
I know.
Mary J. Blige tonight.
I mean, what do we say about her? 8 multi-platinum albums, 9 Grammys, 32 nominations, and over 50 million albums. And tickets are still available for lawn seats. I think there's a few for Pavilion.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So that is still available. She's just an incredible global, you know, superstar with that incredible defining voice.
Right.
I mean, I just love her so. And to get to see her kind of up close and personal, right?
There's nothing better than a summer evening at Ravinia.
I know.
I absolutely love it.
I know.
And it's been a long time since I've been to the what's the theater? It's called the Huntington Bank Pavilion now. I don't remember what it was when I was there. But the theater that used to be Meg's Field over there. And there's a concert. Is that tonight?
Is on the 24th. Okay. And it is, talk about like a blast from the past. It's 90s alternative rock groups. And we're talking about Three Doors Down, Collective Soul. And it is just a night. They're actually on their Rock and Roll Express tour. And they say that it's just going to be a night of, you know, all the hits from both bands. And it's a great night for them to, they say, not only sharing the stage as co-headlining, but also with great friends.
And that's a great place, a great Chicago spot.
Yeah.
That you really need to get to if you haven't been there. Very quickly then, if I want to stay inside, go to the Color Purple. What's that about?
Yeah. So Color Purple runs now through July 29th. So it's only a couple weeks over at the auditorium. This, of course, won the 2016 Tony Award for Best Musical Revival. And great story, the epic story about a young woman's journey and, you know, her love and triumph through, you know, the American South. It's a really great.
More information at frontrowphyllis.com.
You got it.
Thanks for coming by.